Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Your space into a champion-worthy masterpiece. For a free estimate, give us a...
Now, broadcasting from the pulpit of sports radio in Boston, it's Sunday Mass with Christian Arcan on WEEI.
Pitch. Swing and a bouncing ball to the shortstop. Hamilton flips to second. Out, Reyes to first. Double play. Ball game over. The Red Sox and the losing streak. They stay over 500 as they beat the L.A. Angels, the final, Boston 7 and Los Angeles 2.
Good morning. Welcome in. It is Sunday Mass. I'm Reverend Arcan. Nice to have you with us here today. I'm taking you all the way up until Red Sox pregame just after 12:30, so kind of a short show today, kind of a short sermon. But we'll get in as much as we can here. Got a lot of Red Sox stuff to get to. Chris Cotillo will be joining me at 12 noon, so make sure you stick around for that. Cotillo over at Mass Live. I've had his colleague Sean McAdam on a lot. I just need Chris Smith for the Red Sox Mass Live Trinity. So maybe we'll do that some other time. But anyway, excited to talk to Cotillo today. Those guys have been doing a great job with their Red Sox coverage, and we'll have a conversation a little bit later on. What you just heard was how the last game ended, and when I say that team needed a win, boy, it was getting to the point where if they lost another one, and I was waiting for something to happen at the end of that game, some sort of bullpen meltdown or something, just because you get conditioned to it after an entire week of having your nose rubbed in it like a dog who pooped on the floor. But it was a tough week for me anyway. Just a little peek behind the curtain here this week I had my yearly physical. Now, without getting too graphic here, let me just say, a couple of days before the physical, my niece was over at my house, and we were playing soccer in my basement, and I went to kick the soccer ball, and I kicked the ground, and I broke my baby toe, my wee-wee-wee all the way home toe on my right foot. And I could tell it was broken right away. You ever broke something, you know it's broken right away. I was like, oh, yep, that's broken. And there's not much you can do about a broken toe, I learned. You just got to let it heal. Unless the break is not aligned, like the bone's not aligned. Sometimes it breaks and then snaps off in different directions. Then you got to get someone to like reset it and do all that. I didn't have to do that. But this happened like a day before my physical. So I go in for the physical and they're like, how is everything? I said, well, I got this toe situation and I hadn't looked at it since the day before. I take my sock off and this thing, like, you ever, do you have a dog, Nico? Do you ever have a dog growing up?
I did not. No,
you never
pets.
Had a dog?
Nope.
Never had a pet?
Well, I had a fish, but my sister forgot to feed it, and it died.
And that was it. No more pets.
Yeah, it was like 2 weeks.
No more
weeks.
Pets for you kids.
We alternated weeks. I had the first week. She had the second and forgot about it, and
All right.
That was it.
Well, then, I don't know if you'll understand this reference or not, but when you have a dog sometimes and the dog runs out in the woods or goes in like a swamp or something and like a tick gets on him and the tick just sucks so much blood out of the dog that it turns into this little beige, I don't even know, it looks like a thumb almost, like it's this gross thing. That's what my toe looked like. My toe looked like an engorged tick that had been feeding on an animal like a moose or something for months. And it was like purple and gray. It was really, really nasty. And so I take my sock off. I show to the doctor, and she's like, "Ooh, okay, well, yeah, we'll have to get that x-rayed." And then I had to do like my blood panel and everything. So for the rest of the day and really the rest of the week, I had a sore arm from the blood. I had a sore toe. And then my 2-year-old son, we're sitting on the couch watching, you know, Trash Truck or whatever we're watching. And he headbutts me. Right in the nose. And so, not to complain here, obviously, I enjoy being a father, and I understand, you know, things like this happen, but I am pretty wounded today, all right? So I may be in a bit of a mood, I may snap, I may just sort of, you know, bite somebody's head off. Don't take it personal. I just had a rough week, that's all. I got the broken toe, I got the blood in the arm, which is still sort of sore, and I may or may not have a broken nose as well. Which I'm not sure. I'm not going back to the doctor. I'm too embarrassed to go back to my doctor with another thing, like, right after this. I just showed up at my physical with a broken toe, all these problems. I'm going to go back, like, a day later and be like, "Hey, by the way, I broke something else just in the last 45 minutes since you last saw me." No, no, no. Not doing that. But I just wanted to let everybody know in case I snap at someone. It's not me. It's all the injuries. Anyway, Red Sox needed a win big time. They got one. And as bad as this past week was, I wanted to, and maybe it's just because it's a nice day out today, or maybe my son knocked some optimism into me when he headbutted me with his giant head. His head's honestly like a sledgehammer. Here's one thing you can sort of take away from this week, even though it was an awful week for the Red Sox, obviously, from opening day up until basically yesterday, and I know they won yesterday, but it was still an awful week. Of just getting mollywopped by the Orioles and then another beatdown from the Angels. Here's the thing. It's one thing you can take away from it and feel good about. Brian Baio, 5 1/3 innings, 1 earned run. All those other runs were bad defense. The Duran error at shortstop. Or no, Devers had the error. Hamilton did something in that game. Now I can't remember what on opening day. Oh, yeah, he didn't tag second in time, or he didn't tag the guy out on the throw. The next day, Cutter Crawford, 5 innings, 0 earned runs. Remember how that game ended. Garrett Whitlock, 5 1/3 inning, just 1 earned run. I'm going to skip over Tanner Houck's outing because he got crushed. So the exception that proves the rule, Tanner Houck not sharp in his start. Even though he was good last time he played them. Last time he played the Angels, but not this time. That was a tough debut for those City Connect uniforms with Houck out there getting shelled. So we'll skip him and go right to Criswell yesterday. 4 innings, 2 earned runs in a win. And they needed that win, and they got that win. And almost every pitcher in the rotation, despite losing almost every game, the team losing every game, almost every pitcher in the rotation pitched well enough to win their game. And I take some solace in that because this was a tough week. I take some solace in the fact that the starting pitching seems to be on track. And it seems like that first turn in the rotation maybe wasn't a fluke. And that's important. That's an important detail here that I think if you're going to be invested in this Red Sox team, you're gonna have to follow closely. What I just gave you is not some great rotation. It's not a rotation that anyone would look at and say, "Wow, what an unstoppable, what a marquee group of pitchers that is." No one would say that. Even about Baio. Like, I like Baio. No one thinks that about Baio. Baio would be the fourth starter on the Dodgers, probably. Right? Like, he's pitching well. He's probably, out of all the starters, outside of Houck, because Houck got shellacked, but I don't know. He's like the shakiest, I'd say, Baio has. Crawford, even Crawford out in the rain on Wednesday, he was wild, but he was still getting guys out. He's, you know, like, he's really turned into a pretty good pitcher. Like, his stuff isn't always there, but, and sometimes his command's off, but he can still get guys out. I'm enjoying watching Cutter Crawford and his progression here on this team. And he's become a valuable member of this rotation. We'll see what happens with Pivetta. He looked great before he went down with his injury, but it's baseball and everyone's getting injured all the time. Talked about that last week. It's getting worse. Whitlock looks like he can actually be a starter, despite no one wanting him there. Everyone wanting him to come out of the bullpen where he was a top-flight reliever and a closer option on this team, a team that has a closer now. You don't need him anymore, but still, liked him in that bullpen. He's looked good as a starter. And I'm not going to read too much into Criswell yesterday. I felt good for the kid. It was his first start, and he looked fine. He wasn't dominating or anything, but he looked good, and he pitched well enough to win. And four innings, two runs, I'll take that. I'll take that from a kid like him. And honestly, considering the injuries and rashes of injuries that you've been seeing all through Major League Baseball to start the year, in just this month, what have we been going, like 3 weeks, a month? And how many people are injured? How many people haven't even started the year yet? You're going to need some depth, and I didn't think the Red Sox had any. And maybe they really don't. But Criswell looked okay yesterday, so we'll see. They needed that win. They got it. We were at Fenway almost all week. I was there basically all week. I was there from opening day all the way until Friday. And I did a pregame show there opening day, and then we did our Jones and Mego show there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And I was wondering, because about a day into the season maybe, or a day into the homestand, they asked Alex Cora about Fenway. And he had some interesting things to say about it. These aren't on, no one recorded this, but I think Alex Spear printed it. And we asked him about it on Wednesday. But he's like, you know, no one really wants to hear Sweet Caroline when we're down 7 runs going into the 8th inning or when the bullpen just got shellacked. He talked about the opposing fans invading the park. He talked about all the stuff that I've been talking about for years now. And when I say years, I mean it. In 2013, okay, and this is true. In 2013, I worked at a little station in New Hampshire called WGAM. It was called ESPN New Hampshire, WGAM, up in New Hampshire. Rich Keefe also worked there way back in the day. It was basically the minor league farm system for this station for years. Mutt was there. Some of you may remember the name Matt Peralt. He was also there. He worked here briefly. I was up there, and we got Sam Kennedy as a guest, which was a big deal for us up in New Hampshire at the time. It was 2013. I just turned 30. I was excited. I was excited to be interviewing Sam Kennedy. And even then, I asked him, hey, is there any chance, as excited as I was to get this big guest, I said, is there any chance that maybe just Sweet Caroline? How about like a case-by-case basis with Sweet Caroline? How about not always Sweet Caroline, no matter what? How about maybe sometimes the DJ or, you know, the Josh Cantor, whoever it is that's up there, just makes an executive decision and says, you know what, no Sweet Caroline right now. This is a bad time for Sweet Caroline. This is a bad time for Neil. Which, bad time for Neil, how's that possible? But you know what I mean. There's a bad time to play that song. Just about every single game this week was a bad time to play this song. And he answered, he just gracious about it. He goes, hey, you know, I understand what you're saying, but people really love the song, and some people only come to Fenway one day out of the year. It's the one game they get to go to, and they want to hear it, and they want to sing along, and blah, 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 so we got to play it. And it made sense, like, at the time hearing that. I was like, all right, fine. You know, who am I? I'm some schmuck up here in New Hampshire doing my show, asking the president of the Red Sox about the song that, you know, I'm sure he has this whole agreement, this whole thing with. And now here we are, 11 years later, and I got to say, young Arcan's looking pretty good in this whole Sweet Caroline debate. Am I not? Even so much so that the manager's speaking out about it. Even the manager's like, you know, enough with this. this is ridiculous. Stop playing this. And I'll say this, more so than Sweet Caroline, Fenway Park needs to become, I don't want to say a hostile place for other teams to play, but maybe a hostile place for other teams to play. Maybe. Not hostile like bad hostile, but like, man, home field advantage hostile. Like the Boston Garden. Okay, that's a place where there's a distinct home court advantage for the Celtics. And other teams have talked about it. I don't think it's super hostile there. Maybe it is. I don't know. I mean, maybe Kyrie Irving thinks it is, but I don't know. It's not. It doesn't have that kind of reputation, I don't think. Is Fenway ever going to be that again? 2021, there was some bad, there was the Yankees and Gary Sanchez and all the pass balls. I remember that. I remember when he was here in that one game playoff and he couldn't, he was backstop Gary over there. And that was maybe the last time I remember there anybody being uncomfortable playing at Fenway was Gary Sanchez in 2021 and all those pass balls. I forget who was pitching. Might have been Cole. And the Red Sox beat him. And that was maybe one series in the last 5 years. One series in 5 years. What happened to us? What happened to us, Red Sox fans? When did we become these pushover fans who let thousands of Dodgers fans come marching down our streets, invading our park, and embarrassing us at Fenway Park? Something's got to change. I don't know what it is. Something's got to change. And I think it starts at the top. I'm not blaming the fans. I'm blaming the people at the top who have allowed this. Who have allowed this sort of ennui. Who have allowed everybody to just sort of go, eh, whatever. And I'll sell my tickets. I'll sell my tickets to these Dodgers fans, these Mets fans. There's a ton of Met fans there last year. The Mets and the Blue Jays invaded Fenway. Mets fans invaded Fenway. Cardinals fans. Everybody except the Rockies. It was the only team that had no fans. Every other team had, like, at least a third of the place banged out. And I want that to stop this year. I want that to stop this year. Stop putting your tickets up and selling them to these out-of-towners. Go to the games. You know, it's a nice day today. Go to the game. Go on Monday. Let's make Fenway great again. 617-779-7937. We've got a lot to get to here in the next hour and a half or so before we hand things off to Red Sox baseball. We'll get to the Celtics, who play their last game of the season today, and Mike Gorman's last ever regular season game that he's going to call. I have some thoughts on that. We'll also get into the playoff scenarios, possibilities for the Celtics, who you feel good about, who you don't feel good about, all that. And we'll talk to Chris Cotillo at 12 noon. All that coming up right after I tell you what's...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is Sunday Mass on WEEI with Christian Arcand.
Pitches to man tonight, too. Gotta feel pretty good there, Joe.
Let's dribble it out.
Yeah. Great showing. That's gonna do it. Final score here tonight, 131-98. Celtics roll over Charlotte. One more game left.
That was the final call of the Celtics' penultimate game of the season. A 131-98 win over the Hornets the other night. It's Christian Arcan here, Sunday Mass. Nice to have you with us here today. We're taking you right up until Red Sox pregame, and we see some Red Sox calls lining up here. We'll get to those in just a second. Just wanted to say it is the final game that Mike Gorman, the final regular season game that Mike Gorman is going to call. That's today as the Celtics host the Washington Wizards. It's a 1 o'clock start. So a little bit before the Red Sox. Red Sox start at 1:35 today. So a pretty good little sports afternoon. Not because I think it's going to be a good game against the Wizards or anything. It's definitely not, and I don't think any of the starters are playing once again. But for Mike Gorman, the fact that we're down the stretch here with him, and I know he's going to do some playoff games. Scal said that. I don't know if it's been nailed down exactly which games he's going to do and how many, but Scal did mention that Gorman was going to be doing some playoff games, and the Celtics are clearly clinched home court for the entire thing. But Mike Gorman retiring is going to have a big effect, I think. And I'm just for someone who was there my whole life, he's been the voice of the Celtics, him and Tommy. I mean, since 83, I think. Very long time, a long and very distinguished career that's seen multiple different networks and, you know, places where the games were aired. 1981, longer than I've been alive. I was born in 82, is how long Mike Gorman's been doing this. And I'll tell you what, when you talk about consistency, as in delivering a consistently good product in his broadcast, you ever heard Mike Gorman call a bad game? You ever heard him miss like one call? Like, he's about as good as it gets. He's about as good as it's ever going to get. And there's a lot of great NBA announcers out there. But I put him up with the Marv Alberts and the Kevin Harlan, all the big, you know, sort of national names. Mike Gorman's right there with him, I think. Easily. And he'll be missed. He'll be missed on these broadcasts. And that is not a shot at Drew Carter. I swear to God it's not. Or Scal or anybody else who's part of the broadcast. I think they all do fine. I like Drew. I like Scal. But I love Mike Gorman. You know, like, people love him. It's going to be like, you know, I'm not even sure what to compare it to. Especially if you've been a real hardcore Celtics fan, you know, for a lot of years. Whether you're in your 20s or your 30s or your 40s or 50s, 60s, whatever. Mike Gorman's been right there as the voice of this thing for all through the Bird Celtics. And the championships in the 80s, all through the horrible 90s, he was there with Dino Raja and David Wesley and all those guys. He was there with the big three in the 2000s. And the beginning of this thing here that we are watching right now. The Tatum Brown Celtics, who are currently the best team in the league by a good margin, a good amount. I almost wish he'd stay on, do like 4 or 5 more years, you know, just to see. It'd be a shame to sort of see this team take off and go into this next era without Mike Gorman. But you know what? He's made his decision, and that's what he's doing. And what a career. What a tremendous career. As for the Celtics, they appear to be finishing strong. I'll give them that at least with that Hornets win with the backups. The two games prior to that, though, those had me worried. Oh, Arcan, what are you worried about? Who cares? The Celtics don't have anything to play for, and the Bucks and the Knicks both did. Fine. Can someone put a hand in Jalen Brunson's face, please? You think they were just letting him do that? You think they were like, let's just let Jalen Brunson score. Who cares? It made me think about the 07 team and just how ferocious they were. They weren't, you know, like, it's not like they blasted through the playoffs. They had a tough series in that first round against Atlanta. They went 7 games with the young Atlanta Hawks, which I've talked about this every week, I feel like. But they had this sort of mentality that I feel like these guys just, I don't know. The Bucks have whooped them twice this year. Like, whooped them. And they almost beat them without Giannis in that one game. And then for the Knicks to come in and go up 30 on you like that, it's just, you know, like, let's finish with some pride. And finally, Mazzulla's doing the right thing and just yanking the starters. He probably should have done that a couple of games ago. Because I don't think that did them any favors, Brown and Tatum and White and all those guys going out there and getting lit up by the Bucks and by the Knicks in those two games. You want to do load management, do load management. But I didn't care for that. I didn't care for any of that. We'll see if it has an effect or not. I'll say this. Celtics, after the All-Star break, were 14-2. So a long break isn't the worst thing in the world for this team. They went on a 14-2 run after the All-Star gets 8 days off. So they are clearly a team that can regroup and get back and right the ship. But I don't believe that they're one of those teams that flips the switch. I don't think that they are switch flippers. They don't strike me as switch flippers. They strike me as a team that gets sort of content, gets kind of fat and happy, takes plays off, takes games off. I know these games don't matter so much in the standings. They don't matter at all for the Celtics. But it is giving these other teams a little bit more confidence than maybe they would have had. And the other thing about it is the Celtics have been the best team pretty much all year. They've had a big bullseye on their back all year. And they're not even the reigning champs. The Denver Nuggets and, you know, these other teams that have won recently don't have the same kind of scrutiny and pressure that the Celtics have, because the Celtics are a super team. They're a super team. They're going to finish 14 games better than any other team in the league. And they haven't won squat. So they're getting all the pressure without any of the experience of having won already. And that's scary. 617-779-7937. We'll get into playoff scenarios here in just a minute as I grab the mouse that Bridget stole. And let's go to the phones at 617-779-7937. And we'll begin with my good friend Stephen Fall River, who has a thought on my optimism regarding the Red Sox and their rotation. Hi, Steve.
But you hit me with this Mike Gorman because he's done other things. I'm like, the guy was at Channel 12 in Rhode Island. I had to look it back up. He was a sportscaster.
So he was.
Channel 12. He did
and Providence, yeah.
Games. He did this, he did that. Next thing you know, he's doing Celtics games. Believe me, when he started with that, I don't even think he thought he'd last that long, but that cable thing was very new that he got into when they finally went to the cable thing. But, you know, sometimes you have to have an opportunity, don't you?
That's right. And you know what else? You know what else Gorman did, Steve, real quick? Steve, Gorman did play-by-play for the Dream Team in 1992 in Barcelona. Yeah, he did play-by-play for that team.
Yep. Anybody who thinks Wikipedia is bad is foolish. Very, very good.
Wikipedia is great.
You find everything right there. I donate to it. So I'm hoping you're right and I'm wrong, because I know you're doing a lot of patting on the back. Remember me calling the show with the first 10 games of the Red Sox?
Mm-hmm.
What did I tell you was an important factor for the Red Sox?
I don't know, Steve. What did you tell me?
Trevor flipping story. And guess what? They fell apart, which is a damning thing everywhere. But there is optimism here, Christian. You guys might be right. You only got to replace a 234 hitter. He ain't that good. This, that, the other thing. So I might be wrong, which doesn't happen very often, Christian. I hope your toe gets better, by the way.
Sure, Steve.
But maybe he's not that hard to replace. His right-handed 234 away from Coors Field. And he's not the second coming of Ozzy.
But, Steve, offensively, he shouldn't be hard to replace at all. I mean, thanks for the call. But, yeah, offensively, it shouldn't be that hard to replace Trevor Story. What's going to be hard to replace is his glove somehow, because this team has no defensive infielders on it, which is pretty upsetting, by the way, since he brought it up. I heard Lou Maloney talking about this week, and he was so right. Oh, my God, why bullseye with this one, Lou was. But the Red Sox didn't spend on any big names other than Giolito in the offseason, right? They didn't spend on anyone. They had all these different pitchers they could have bid on, Montgomery and Snell and all these other guys, Yamamoto, Shohei Ohtani, weren't even in the mix really with any of them. I know they had an offer with Montgomery, but it never went anywhere, and he goes and signs somewhere else. So they weren't spending on the big names. And they also weren't spending on the little things either, like, I don't know, a utility infielder who can actually, I don't know, play the infield. Does this team? I understand Trevor Story was someone that Chaim Bloom spent money on it. I'm not going to blame this on Craig Breslow. I'm not really going to blame anything on Craig Breslow so far. I don't know if he's doing a great job, but I'm not going to blame this on him yet. But for Trevor Story to go down and this team be so incapable of replacing a, and I don't have to be a gold glover, okay? Trevor Story is an elite defensive shortstop. Can we get a mediocre one? Can we get a guy who's okay with the glove at shortstop? Can we get a guy that you can, he's not going to be making the crazy plays like Alex Gonzalez or, you know, Pokey Reed, one of these great shortstops, Ozzie Guillen, Ozzie Smith, as Steve was talking about there. We're not talking about, you know, the great all-time shortstops here. Can we just get a guy who can be out there and make a couple plays? Can we get a guy who can go out there and not blow every single game of the week? I mean, and listen, David Hamilton shouldn't have been up there. He shouldn't have been put in that position. This team should have had somebody else in the event of a Trevor Story injury, which, by the way, not the most uncommon thing in the world, Red Sox. How do you not have a backup plan for that? That's not some big thing. That's not some big signing. That's not going to cost John Henry a lot of money. That's basic stuff here. And for all these rosters to get settled, and now here you are looking for a defensive shortstop. It's like, it's April 14th, folks. We're not even a month into the season. And number one, this whole thing was being held together by such a thread that your shortstop going down really just lampooned the entire homestand. Maybe not the entire homestand. We'll see how the rest of the series goes. They win tonight, then, you know, at the very least you can say they're bouncing back in some ways. But when that happened, after that first game, when not a tremendous play or anything, it's just him diving to his right and he landed awkwardly and you could tell right away it was bad. And then that same game, you have Story find the next day, you find Story finding out he's done for the year. This was all opening day. Jaren Duran missing that ball in left field and then going to town on a chair or whatever it was in the locker room afterwards. Everyone's mad. The guys are freaking out. 10 games into the season? Eesh. Things did fall apart there for a bit. Can they get back on track? I say yes. I say yes. And the reason why I say yes is this pitching staff. Because whatever's going on behind them, they're powering through. And that's with a couple of exceptions, like Isaiah Campbell, Tanner Houck. It's the other guy who got shelled the other day. There's another couple other guys, but still. And I think Houck will be better. He was good in his first start against the Angels. I don't know what happened in that last one. But the slider wasn't sliding. All right. That being said, the Boston Celtics. Who do you most want to see in the playoffs and who do you least want to see, Nico? In the first round, I mean.
Anybody but Miami, pretty much.
Anyone but Miami. Does that include the 76ers? You'd rather see Miami than the Sixers?
No, I'd rather see the Sixers, I think, just because Embiid's coming off an injury.
True. How about Bulls-Hawks? Hawks beat you twice.
I would still take the Hawks. I would still take them. I'm not worried about them. Really, my concerns are
in the
West.
I'm not scared of the Bulls at all. The Bulls stink. I mean,
you asking Bulls
or
Hawks?
I'm saying, like, between the Bulls and the Hawks. They're going to be 9-10, right? Yeah, I'd rather see the Bulls, too. I think I at least want to see the Heat. There we go. I don't want to see the Heat, but I think you're going to. I think they're going to end up being the 8 seed. But here is how it can all go down. I have the full slate of playoff possibilities right here based on what happens in this games today, the last game of the regular season for everyone. There were no games yesterday. So in the East, the Knicks, Cavs, Pacers, Sixers, and Heat are playing teams that have nothing to play for. So if they all win, and they're all favored to by, I think, double digits, then what it's going to come down to is the Bucks and the Magic. The Bucks right now are the 2 seed, and Orlando is 5 seed? Yes, the 5 seed. If the Knicks, Cavs, Pacers, Sixers, Heat, and Bucks all win, then the Celtics would play the Orlando Magic in the first round. And I say that not counting the play-in tournament yet and what's going to happen to it. But, like, they'd be the 8 seed. So let's assume that things stay that way in the tournament. Then you got Orlando. Milwaukee and New York would be tied. The Bucks would have a tiebreaker. Pacers and the Sixers would be tied. Pacers have that tiebreaker. Miami and Orlando would be tied at 46. Miami has their tiebreaker, so that would push Orlando down to 8. However, if the Magic beat the Bucks, it'll be Celtics 1 seed, Knicks 2 seed, 3 Cavs, 4 Bucks, 5 Magic, 6 Pacers, 7 Philly, 8 the Miami Heat. So, there's one other possibility. Or no, I think that's it. But that all hinges on the idea that the teams that still have something to play for, the Knicks, Cavs, Pacers, Sixers, and Heat, will win all of their games because they're playing against teams that are out of it already. But there you go. How do you feel about the Orlando Magic, Nico?
You know, when you said that one, I was thinking that's a team that could stretch a series against the Celtics. I'm not sure there's a team in the East who could beat the Celtics over 7 games, but Orlando could stretch a series. Miami could definitely do it. The Bucks should stretch a series, but, I mean, who knows with the Bucks? They could fall apart in the first round and won't shock me.
They could. The Celtics swept the Magic this year. No, they didn't, actually. They lost the first game. They lost game one back in November, 113-96. They beat them in December, 128-111. And they beat him again in December, like 2 days later, 114-97. So, and decisive wins.
One of those was like a play-in game or something because it got the Magic into the tournament and almost knocked the Celtics out, too.
Oh, the in-season tournament.
The in-season tournament. Right, yeah, right, that right, tournament. Right. I just remember like the atmosphere being a big deal. Obviously, maybe the Celtics aren't taking as seriously as the Magic were, but still, that felt like a big game, and the Celtics didn't look ready to compete with the Magic at that point.
True.
Obviously, now they're looking much better than when they were at that point in the season. But the Magic are a good team, I think. They're young, but they're a team who could rip 2 games off the Celtics, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, they could give you a scare in the first round. I don't think they could beat the Celtics. But Banchero's a good player. The Wagners, Flaming Mo and Franz Wagner, those guys. Is he still on that team? I think he is. I think both
of them. I believe so.
And Suggs and Anthony, and I think Carter's hurt. But, you know, you got a decent squad there. A team that's given the Celtics trouble in the past. Not so much this year, but last year they definitely did. But between the two of them, I'll take the Heat. I mean, I'll take the Magic over the Heat.
Oh, 100%. All day. I don't
no
want to see Miami. That's the team I think in the East who should scare you the most as a Celtics fan, just because of the mental aspect there. But really, in the East, the Celtics shouldn't lose to anybody. My concerns are all in the West. And I think there's quite a few teams who could beat the Celtics in the finals in the West.
Quite a few.
I think Minnesota can do it. I think Denver can do it. I think if the Clippers figured it out and put it all together and stay healthy, they could do it.
Okay.
And I would say OKC has a shot. I think OKC can maybe beat the Celtics.
I don't think the Celtics lose to OKC. Really? You think the Thunder could beat them?
So I think those 4 teams could all beat them, but the only team I would pick to truly do it is Denver. The rest, I think they could. In the East, I don't think anybody really competes with them. Like, it would be the Celtics beating themselves if they lose in the Eastern Conference.
The Celtics beat the Heat in all 3 games they played. Back in October, they beat them 119-111. They smoked them on Christmas Day, 143-110. Or no, it wasn't Christmas Day. It was January 25th, not Christmas Day. And then in February, they beat them again, 110-106. I believe that was Super Bowl weekend. And that was a closer game than it should have been. But there you go. There's your playoff scenario. 617-779-7937. You know, it'd be a good parlay today. All those teams I just mentioned that have something to play for, just parlay them all together. The money line. See what happens there. Probably get a little juice off of that. I don't know. It depends who you bet with. 617-779-7937. When we come back, there was a story in Philadelphia that really got a lot of traction on the internet. Allen Iverson had a statue unveiled at the 76ers training facility, and it didn't go great. We'll get to that next.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Sunday Mass with Christian Arcand on WEEI.
Hampton native Allen Iverson gave his all on the court for the Sixers. Today, the franchise started to honor him, retired his jersey, immortalized him with a statue. Few played better in games for the Sixers than Iverson himself, who won four scoring titles and NBA MVP and led the franchise to the last trip to the NBA Finals in 2001.
When you think about the statue outside, you know, that's a representation to y'all people that helped me, to everyone that played a part in my development. When y'all see that statue, y'all can feel good about the part that y'all did in helping me in my life.
All right, you might have seen this on the internet. Allen Iverson, you just heard there, had a statue dedicated to him at the 76ers training facility, which is, I don't know what town it's in. It's in Philly probably, but it was a big deal on the internet. Big deal on Twitter. Because this thing was maybe the size of the Heisman Trophy. Like, it's a very small statue. And when it was unveiled, I looked at it and said, what the hell is that? Why would they make such a small statue? And the reason why they made it such a small statue, people quickly, Philadelphia people mostly, I don't think anybody else knew this, quickly said, hey, wait a minute. They got statues of Charles Barkley. They got statues of Bobby Jones. They got statues of all these other great 76ers. I'm not sure who else is there. Probably like Mo Cheeks and, you know, Moses Malone and guys like that. I'm not exactly sure. But he's like, we got statues of all those guys. And they're all small, too. It's a bunch of small statues. That's the whole point of the thing. It's a bunch of little statues out in front of the training facility. And you walk up and you see all the little statues, and they sort of line the front of the building. And I saw that, and I thought, okay, well, that's, I guess, a little bit better. It's not like they just made some tiny Iverson statue. But then it got me thinking about Boston and our statue situation. And also the Philly statue situation is another one, too, because if you remember the great Bill Burr, in his clip against the Philadelphia audience, Nico, do you know what I'm talking about?
I do not.
Bill Burr versus Philadelphia?
I haven't seen it. No.
All right, after you're done today, this is a little homework for you. After you're done today, I want you to go home or go wherever you're going and search Bill Burr versus Philadelphia. Because what happened is Bill Burr was doing a show. It was like part of a tour. And they had a stop in Philly. And all the other comedians who went on before him all got booed off the stage. The crowd was just a nightmare. And so Burr goes on stage and starts to do his act for like a second or two. And then when the crowd turns on him, he just starts ripping the crowd. And he goes on for about, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 minutes. It's incredible. It's one of the most incredible things I've ever heard. And it really sort of launched Burr's profile, I think. Like, that was one of the things that made people go, wow, like, this guy's something. So I don't know if you're a Bill Burr fan or not, but
I am.
You so are?
This was early on in his career, you're saying then?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know exactly what year it was.
All right. I'll write that homework assignment down. Sorry.
But you write that down. I'll email you to remind you. And report back. You can send me an email back after you watch it. Tell me what you think.
I'll have a report next week.
So Bill Burr had and during this tirade against the city of Philadelphia, he did this whole thing about how they have a big statue for Rocky. But Joe Louis, a real guy, was, you know, from Philadelphia and was a boxer and who had this unbelievable record, one of the greatest athletes in the history of the world, doesn't get a statue, but they give one to Sylvester Stallone and a fictional character. Which, there was more to the joke, but I'll just leave it right there. Just in case, you know, you can watch it yourself, and if you've seen it before, you know what I'm talking about. But then I started thinking about us here in Boston, our statue situation. I don't think it's great. I don't think we have a great statue situation. We have some good statues, but do we have a great statue culture here in Boston? Not sure about that. The Bobby Orr statue, good statue. It's a fine statue. I like that statue a lot. I like where it is. I like what it looks like. Easy to take pictures, very Instagrammable. We have a Bill Russell statue, which is like 5 square miles away from where Bill Russell played basketball, which I don't really understand. It's not that far away, but you know what I mean. It should be right there next to Bobby Orr, I think, or maybe at one of the other entrances or some other part of that complex. Maybe have the greatest player in the history of the Celtics there somewhere instead of way the hell up, up the government center, wherever it is. I never understood that. And that's basically it, right? It's all you have around the garden, statue-wise. You got the Red Auerbach statue over in Faneuil Hall. Good statue. When I was a bartender, I worked at the Ames Plow, which was right next to the Red Auerbach statue. And at night, let me tell you, I saw some young ladies really doing some unsavory things on that statue because he's sitting down on the bench, right? He's sitting down on the bench. I saw him get more lap dances. I'm not kidding. By these poor women who, by the way, are trying to like go to Ned Devine's or go wherever they're going, and they're on these cobblestones wearing heels, wobbling over the place. I don't even think half of them even meant to give Red Auerbach a lap dance. They just needed somewhere to sit. That's a pretty good statue. It's also got the Larry Bird shoes there right next to it. Red Sox outside of Fenway, they got some good ones. They got Ted Williams with the kid, putting the hat on the kid. They got the teammates, which is, who's the teammates of the Red Sox? Let me see. The teammate statue is Ted Williams, Bobby Doerr, Johnny Pesky, and Dom DiMaggio. Good statue. That's a good statue. And the one of Williams with the kid putting the hat on the kid's a good one, too. Who's next? Ortiz? An Ortiz statue?
For the Red Sox, yes. I think the Celtics, they don't have a Larry Bird one, right?
I don't believe there's a Larry Bird statue.
There should be a Larry Bird statue for sure.
There should.
And obviously Tom Brady should be getting one with the Patriots. I assume Brady and Belichick will both get statues somewhere outside Gillette.
There is a Larry Bird statue in Terre Haute, Indiana.
Yeah, we need one in Boston.
But there is not one at the Garden.
Do you think we'll see more Celtic statues if they ever move away from the Garden, get their own arena?
No. I don't think that's going to make a difference.
Or at least statues like by where they play. Because the whole statues just being in different parts of Boston doesn't make sense to me either. It should be right outside where the entrance is, should be all the statues.
I agree. The Patriots don't have any statues, right?
None, but Brady and Belichick both have to be coming soon, I would assume. And unless Brady decides to actually come back, then I don't think you have a statue while you're still playing.
I hear that. And I also, and not to be morbid here, but I'm of the belief, and this really sort of happened after Joe Paterno, but I'm of the belief that you should wait until people are gone before you put a statue up of them. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think anybody who's alive needs to have a statue. A statue should be memorializing someone, commemorating someone. Having a statue for someone who can walk by and look at it, I think is weird.
Yeah, but their career is also over, so it's like different. I think
the career is
okay.
Over, sure, but you know what I'm saying? Like, do you hear what I mean?
I understand what you're saying, but I like the statue while they're still alive because then you can have like a ceremony for everything. They get to, you know, see their work be recognized. They actually get to see the statue. Maybe not immediately after people retire. I think there's got to be like some sort of waiting period, longer than a Hall of Fame period, probably. And maybe instead of like a 5-year period, we're talking about like 10 or 15 years before.
I think it should
statue.
Be like a 30-year period. You should have to wait 30 years before the end of your career when you get a statue. And even then, I think that might not be enough. I don't think that's enough because once you put up a statue of somebody, then it's there, you know, like then if you take it down, it's a whole big thing. And let's just, you know, say that some great athlete, and I'm not going to say who, but, you know, someone did just pass away this week who had a lot of statues up of him. Later on in his life does something really bad. And now you got the statue up and now you got to take the statue down.
I think that's a risk you have to take. So are you saying you will wait another 30 years for a Tom Brady statue?
I mean, yeah, I think so. I don't think you should put up a statue of anybody while they're still alive. I honestly believe that. I don't think you should put up a statue of anybody while they're still alive. What do you think? 617-779-7937. Should living people get statues? I think they should be commemorative memorial statues. That's how I don't think that you should have statues for people that can walk by and see them. I think that's a bad precedent to set.
I will say, though, I think you have to win championships to get a statue.
Agree
with
that,
unless
you're
too. Absolute loser franchise. Like the Sixers giving Iverson a statue, I go, they're a loser franchise. It makes sense for them. What? He led them to their last NBA finals in 2001. So like That's why I think he also should get the small statue he got.
I agree with that.
You got to win a championship to get a nice big statue.
Or if someone...
probably multiple for most organizations.
Yeah, and if someone passes away unexpectedly, like Roberto Clemente or something like that, you know, a statue for somebody like that, that's fine too. But I agree. I think in general you have to have accomplished, at least around here, certainly, you have to have accomplished a lot. So there you go. There's my little statue take. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Who's the next Boston athlete to get a statue, living or not? What do you think that'll be? I think it's probably going to be Ortiz. I don't think they're going to go by the rule that I have, and I think he's probably the next logical guy. Plus, outside of Fenway, you got 360 degrees of statue. You can't do that at the Garden. At the Garden, there's really the only one main entrance. And if you go around the back, you're butting up against the Sturrow Drive there. So I don't know about that. You should. I mean, listen, if they want to put some up there in Foxborough, they certainly could. They got plenty of space for statues over there. No question about it. Might cut into their lighthouse space, but I think people would be okay with that. Anyway, 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Chris Cotillo of Mass Live.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.